host with the Berean Chronicles, coming to you live from Mobile, Alabama, where we are down here trying to tear up the coast with the truth being God's word, and we submit unto it as we pray every day that the Lord will allow us to submit, that we will take up our cross daily and follow Him and obey and repent and daily stand for Him and speak forth His word to others, which is what He's told us to do. Pat Holiday, her webpage, patholiday.com, is who we've been interviewing for the last 30 minutes. We've also, the first 30 minutes of the show, if you're just tuning into us on the second hour of the Berean Chronicles today, we're glad you're with us. We interviewed David Bay for the first 30 minutes today on several subjects, one, of course, being the... being Sharon having a massive stroke. Ariel Sharon is now out of the picture in Israel. We're constantly seeing things occur down there. What does it mean? And so we talked about that a little bit the first 30 minutes. We talked about the book of Daniel, the movie that's coming out tomorrow. And we sure appreciate Frank at the American Voice Radio Network for picking up the Berean Chronicles and putting us out live on the C-band satellite, Galaxy 11, transponder channel 12, and audio 8.1. I haven't memorized. Feels good. And we appreciate all our micro broadcasters and our macro broadcasters, Daryl and Talladega in Alabama and the Central Alabama, 89.7 on the FM dial, and also River Radio, Remnant Radio, Truth Radio, and Liberty Radio for also putting the Berean Chronicles out to you. Please visit our webpage. Our bookstore is somewhat up and going, Phyllis. Appreciate all the book orders yesterday. We're going to have Mr. Colonel Jim Atkins back on soon, on the 25th. We go over some more of information that's in his book, but also information of things that he knows that wasn't in his book. And there's a lot more to learn from this gentleman who's approximately maybe around 80. And he's been in this discernment ministries for a long time, and it was great how the Lord got him out. I was too afraid to ask him what happened to his son, what they did to his son at that place that caused him to be disabled, that he has to drive him around. It broke my heart too hard, and maybe we can touch on it a little bit next time. But it just about broke my heart what is going on. You know, it's such a gorgeous day, and we live in such a beautiful country and a beautiful world. But when you see the ominous satanic dark clouds forming as we're getting to the climax of the scriptures that talk about the Lord's second return, and Satan knows his time is very short and he's coming down to just wreak as much havoc as he possibly can. And you know, it's sad that you can't even get preachers to teach about Satan and what his plans are and what he's doing every day and his conspiracy out there. But he has a personal conspiracy against each one of us, besides having a big picture conspiracy to bring in the Antichrist. And so we need to be our eyes wide open, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves as we go about this and learning. And thanks for Timothy from Oregon calling. Very wise young man, seeing some of the problems in that, and was told that C.S. Lewis was a Christian. You know, one big red flag is if the media, general media, and the mainline big wigs are out there saying someone's a Christian, probably not. That's a red flag right there, that they're probably not. And when you have the same ministries promoting Harry Potter as a good book between good and evil, and teaches good qualities in our kids, And they're having these same ministries are promoting lots of other things that are bad also. And so when they come out and say C.S. Lewis is great and coming, don't trust them. That's for sure. We sure appreciate Pat Holiday. She's written about 48 different books. Her webpage, patholiday.com. And wow, I'm looking through some of the titles here of the name of her book. She has done. She has been in the ministry now since 1975, and she has been a very busy lady. The Lord, Pat, has used you mightily.
Yes, well, he's about to work me to death in my old age.
Well, you're using your old age. There's not one thing in the Bible that says retirement, is there?
No, you can't retire, and particularly at this time of history.
Well, I think if you're being obedient and he's able to use you, I mean, he's using you and you're being obedient and doing the work, that he might just keep you around a little longer and keep you a little more healthy to get it done.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to tell you about the lion part of this movie now. The lion, of course, we're all familiar with the zodiac lion, Leo, right?
Right.
And so... C.S. Lewis, actually, let me read on page 14 of...
the first section or the second?
It's C.E. Sillett's definition of Apollo.
Apollo.
And C.S. Lewis worshipped Apollo. And, of course, Apollo is the sun god. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so the lion is actually a representative of the sun god and not Jesus Christ, as they say that he is representative of. Now, the first place, this lion was sacrificed on an altar like a witch would sacrifice a sacrifice to Satan. Jesus was lifted up for the sins of the world, and he was sacrificed on the cross. This lion is representative of Apollo, and I wanted to just read something that I picked up from C.S. Lewis's biography, written by Roger Lanson Green on page 276. He was on a trip with his wife, and he says, quote, "I had some ado to prevent Joy and myself from relapsing into paganism in Attica at Delphi. It was hard not to pray to Apollo the healer, but somehow one didn't feel it would be very wrong. Would have only been addressing Christ subspecies to Apollos." And so this man was a pagan. Mm-hmm. And all of the various characters that he writes about are gods, the Greek and Roman gods. We would call those things demons,
Or fallen angels, offsprings of the fallen angels, doing havoc down here,
mm-hmm.
and creating some of these half animal, half humans, or creating all this what they call mythology. We're not mm-hmm. sure how much of it's myth and how much of it was playing around with the fallen angels.
Well, now you know, in this book, Narnia, in the movie, the very first supernatural scene that you see is Lucy, and she finds the wardrobe. She takes the sheet off the wardrobe, and she steps through the door of the wardrobe. Now, in witchcraft, there's something called portal, P-O-R-T-A-L. And what this is, it's a supernatural doorway into the fantasy world or into the world of witchcraft. Now, the very first character that she meets is a satyr. Now, what this is a half-human, half-man, and the half-human...
Half-human, half-horse.
It's a half-goat.
Oh, yeah, goat. Oh, a goat.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the cloven feet.
Mm-hmm, right.
And, of course, you know witches worship the goat.
Yeah.
And in the movie... The man part of that thing is definitely a homosexual, a blatant homosexual playing that role. And now what that thing is, that satyr is, in witchcraft, it's called Hermes God, and it's also called the God of the Forest and Pan God, and so also known as Satan. So the very first person that she meets is Satan in the movie. And so in Harry Potter's book, the very same entrance into the witchcraft world happened to Harry Potter at the railroad station. And what he did is he stepped through a wall, which became a portal, and put him into the supernatural witchcraft world. And so all of these books, Harry Potter and C.S. Lewis's books, are all taken from the same source of information, and that is witchcraft. And you mentioned something about the mythological spirits. If you were to read Witch Doctor and the Man, the book that I wrote, you see, in Africa, these spirits are these mythological things are actually spirits, and they're just forms that demons take in the spiritual realm. And you would see that in my book, Witch Doctor and the Man. You would see the dwarf spirits. You would see his father taking him to the forest where he meets the dwarf spirits. And then you would see the father introducing him to spirits from the sky. He sees a Pegasus, flying horse in the sky. And then the father takes him down into the sea. He leaves his body, he and his father, and a demon comes and takes care of the body to keep it alive while they go down under the sea. And it's under the sea where this man learned to be a wizard. Now, this stuff sounded so bizarre to me. And I had been in the deliverance ministry in America for many, many years. But in Africa, it is not a bizarre thing. People in South Africa, West Africa, East Africa, I've even talked to someone in Canada, in Scotland, these cities under the sea lay off the coast, and this is where the witches go to practice their witchcraft. Now, I came across an article, for instance, where the movie Shirley MacLaine had written an article for AARP where she said her adept took her under the sea, and then she talked about what happened down there, and I would not have known what she was talking about if I had not met the bishop from Africa and wrote that book. So all of these things have occult bases, but the occult bases have supernatural bases of demonology and witchcraft. And so if you tell me that a child can go to these movies and come out and not have any effect on it, I know better. Because the way I found the Lord was after I ran for the state legislature in 72, I fell in a very deep depression. And so I started going to the bookstores and just picking up books and found myself deeply reading about witchcraft, spiritualism, and things of that nature. And I became demon-possessed. And, fortunately for me, Jesus Christ pulled me out and delivered me and made me whole. So I know that you can't even read these books and come out and think that you're going to be all right. The devil is a liar, and his supernatural ways are beyond ours. And the only way that we have protection is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So don't tell me that a lion is Jesus, because a lion is not Jesus. He's known symbolically in the Bible as the Lion of Judah, but that lion in that movie is not symbolic of Jesus and his character at all.
Well, Pat, just like the movie that's coming out this Friday, they have a guy standing there and they're calling him Jesus. So there's going to be there's a true Lord Jesus Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father, and then there's a fake Jesus that the world has been portraying for a long, long time, and preparing them all to receive the Antichrist as a Messiah, uh-huh. And you're going to have a lion and a fake lion, as in the Lion of Judah or in the Leo, the lion, which would be the false Christ, and the of Satan and his plans. And then you do have the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he comes back, he will be, lions will lay down with the lamb, things will be different, and he will come back as a wrathful judgment, God, who's going to bring judgment on this. He's going to bring judgment on this earth and can bring wrath when he comes.
That's right.
And so his countenance is going to be like a lion. I mean, they did give him one scripture through the whole thing, called the Lion of Judah. And that's it. And he's the bread of life. He is the word of God. There's lots of language things for him, but only one time in the whole scripture is he the Lion of Judah.
That's right.
And that has nothing to do with Aslan. Being a lion and representing, he didn't even act like Jesus in the movie. From what I gathered, Aslan didn't know what was going on all around him. He didn't know what was going on in the witchcraft, what the witch was doing, and what her plans were. He didn't act like he knew much was going on.
No.
And so Lord Jesus Christ, number one, is not ignorant. The Lord Jesus Christ that they portrayed in the Passion was a false Christ. He doesn't act wimpy and fall down all the time, be so needy. He's just not a needy, I didn't watch the movie, but from studying it. And he wasn't in the tomb when they rolled away the stone.
Well, since when did Disney World get interested in evangelizing children to
Jesus? They've always been in witchcraft. And I could have, every movie from as you said, the dwarfs, from Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, Cinderella, to their normal ones today, their modern day cartoons, the old fashioned ones, which are all the princesses, all have witchcraft in them, and have a witch in them, and a wicked witch, for things. And so they've never ever wanted to do it. The Christianity Today said that Disney World wanted to cash in on the Christians, like Mel Gibson did, and
they wanted to cash in on that with this movie.
And I know the same people that go watch that, probably the same ones that go watch Friday the 13th. So I'm not really sure. These are people who are looking for witchcraft.
That really is the truth. Unfortunately, the Christians' minds are under this powerful deception now, and they can't see the difference.
Yeah.
But when I saw on the TBN streamers, for instance, they said that this movie could not have been made 5 years ago because of the computer has advanced that much, and they have made 5,000 demonic characters for one side of the war in that movie, and 1,500 for the good side. Well, you see, when they portray good and evil in these demonic movies, what they are portraying is white witchcraft and black witchcraft. It has absolutely nothing to do with good and evil. So on the side of the children of Adam and Eve, who were prophesied to come and deliver this land, Narnia, they have the 1,500 demonic characters. And so what you're dealing with here is the imagination coming out of the demonic minds of men and women too. And the Bible says to cast down evil imaginations. It never tells us to promote them. And so, unfortunately, it's a perversion of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perversion of Adam and Eve. It's a perversion of the crucifixion of Jesus. It's a perversion of his resurrection. You know, you were telling me about them resurrecting the people. Tell the people about that again.
Interesting. In the movie, after Aslan himself was resurrected on the, and it was while he was on the altar, dead. What was the two girls' names? All of a sudden, I forgot them.
Lucy, I can remember.
Lucy and the other one. And they were laying there, just hugging him while he was dying. And the rest of the people were going to this gigantic battle in this gigantic, such as maybe the Battle of Armageddon. And they were going to this great big battle. And Aslan was dead. And so they leave. But anyways, Aslan resurrects. And he goes into the battle. In the meantime, the battle had already been going on for a while. So basically, the good goes into the battle without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the lion. And they have to go in and fight it by themselves, which is something I think that the world, that they're trying to get Christians to think that they have to do it by themselves and fight this battle in the physical realm down here on this earth. Fight it with guns and bullets, you know. And that the battle has to be fought so we can acknowledge God in this country with guns and bullets. And so they're down there fighting this battle, and everybody's losing, of course. The good guys are losing. And Edmund gets hit. In the middle of the movie, Santa Claus comes, St. Nick.
Oh, great.
Santa Claus shows up on a sleigh, and he gives those children, Peter is the older one. I thought that was interesting, being Peter with Catholic, being the head of the Catholic Church, and he became King of Narnia. And then, so I thought that was interesting. They named him King. Peter is the eldest son. And then, of course, Edmund was the one that betrayed everybody, the younger one. And then, golly, I forgot, you know, the girls I can't keep in my mind. Well, they were, Santa Claus comes and gives them weapons, a sword for Peter and a little shorter sword for Edmund, a bow and arrow for the oldest daughter. And for the younger daughter, she got a vial of liquid of which to use if somebody was sick and dying. And so you're out there on the battlefield. When Aslan woke up, he went into, everywhere he went, he breathed, he went into the, he was in the witch's castle. He breathed on all the, whenever the witch killed anybody, they turned to pillars of salt or pillars of something.
Another perversion.
Yeah, and they turned to pillars. And so he, and they would turn to those pillars just looking like themselves, like that little goat, half man. He was there himself. You could see him, although he was a pillar. He was solid.
Mm-hmm.
And so he breathed on them. Aslan breathed on them. With his breath, he resurrected them. And then he came to the battle, and then when he got to the battle, they started winning, and the witch lost, and she, and then Edmund lay there dying, and with Aslan just, you know, 20 feet away, the sisters of Edmund don't call Aslan, supposedly, if he's God, representing God, they don't call him over there to resurrect and to heal Edmund. And now Aslan had been going all through the battlefield resurrecting all the frozen, solid, good people. But they don't call him over there to resurrect Edmund. She gets out her little vial, and it's pure blood, and she pours it into his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And then he's healed from his mortal wound, his wound. And he stands up, and everything's hunky-dory. And so the children grow up and get old, and then they find that little wardrobe again. They go through it, and they're back at the same exact day that they had left. And so they traveled through time several times or whatever. Anyways, it was that to me was, he's bringing out a lot of Catholicism, as did Tolkien. Now, Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were drinking buddies.
Yes.
And they were members of societies, and they dealt with the spiritual realm in a lot of things. As to me, Catholicism is witchcraft. There's not zero. There's very little difference. Okay, and matter of fact, I guess they learned it. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, Pope John Paul II was asked to give a patron saint for the wizards, and he did it, and they gave him a wand, and he took it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was in the local newspaper. And so they practice witchcraft all the time, and they promote it and whatnot. They promote it with the transubstantiation. And matter of fact, when C.S. Lewis was dying, he took the last rites as a Catholic. That means he thought he had to eat Jesus and drink the blood in order to go to heaven. And he took it on his deathbed. So they're throughout the years, for the last 50 years, and he, of course, died on 11/22, which is a 33, at the same day that JFK was assassinated. I thought that was rather strange.
Yes.
And so him and Tolkien's movies had a lot of course, witchcraft in it, but it was all a lot of Catholicism in it, too.
Yeah.
And so these two were big buddies, and he got them into witchcraft and into Catholicism.
Well, you know, the other aspect of the children, the world has a new kind of children that they call them indigo. The indigo means black, you know,
mm-hmm.
like black ink. And they call them indigo children. And what these children are, they're children that have night visitations from ghosts, dead people, monsters, demons, and angels. Mm-hmm. And they call these children psychic sensitives. And so what they do is they send these children to the psychiatrists and the psychologist counselors, and they are being prescribed drugs to control these symptoms. And now, with the flood of these so-called Christian magical movies of fantasy, they're going to get the Christian children now from age on up, and these children are going to be having demonic visitations also. And see, when many years ago I had a couple to come through our ministry, and we didn't know about a lot of things that we know now, and they bought the film on The Little Mermaid. And so at nighttime, that witch and the mermaid came into their little boy's room and scared him, and he ran into the parents' room, and we had to go down to their house and pray over the house and anoint it and command those demons out of the house. And that's when I started looking into the Disney World stuff. I tell you that you cannot describe, I can't even picture it in my mind, how grave this is going to be to the children of the world and the children in our churches.
Pat, you know that Walt Disney himself was a 33-degree Mason, and he set Walt Disney up to destroy our kids, and there's probably so much witchcraft in that I haven't been in so long, because we've all been boycotting it, man. James Dobson and Don Wildman and all these big wig bad guys out there, but supposedly the head of the Christian leadership, all said, let's boycott Disney World, because they were doing some horrendous things. And I probably, for the show, should have gotten out some of the stuff, but I used to have it on my website. But I've got files on Walt Disney, Disney and the horrifying stuff that they've been putting out in the theaters and the movies and in their cartoons. You know, even the Lion King. I mean, that was so witchcraft. And they drew a circle, you know, they drew a circle in the sand and wrote sex. And one of their other ones, Aladdin, the castles were dildos and things like that. Mm-hmm. They have those lots of different things besides in this thing having overt witchcraft. But their shows are so magical, and the magic kingdom, and everything's about magic and magicalness and fantasy land. And so that's exactly what he tried to portray as a 33-degree Mason. And what's cracked me up or made me mad is that all those great Christian leaders, right before Disney came out with the Chronicles of Narnia, everybody stopped their boycott. They all had press releases, and they all said, we're stopping our boycott to Disney World because they're putting out this movie. Can you believe that? So they think, we're giving them another time. Disney's now starting to do better, and they're coming out this movie, so we're stopping our boycott. And, I mean, Focus on the Family came out with the press release. Don Wildman did. All the different groups. We're not, and he was even in probably the Mobile Press. No more blocking of boycotting Disney World. So, I mean, one of the things you talked about, and I was trying to find it here in my notes, was the party that they had in the and the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Yeah, go over that and what that meant and basically an orgy.
It was a party with the gods, Bacchus.
Yeah.
It was a demonic party, like a drinking party, witchcraft party.
Yeah, I watched it.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is Bacchus?
And,
go over the history of Bacchus and who was Bacchus in that party.
The party of Bacchus is what they're doing there is they are introducing the children to the gods of wine and let me read this to you on page 152. The crowd and the dance around Aslan, it had become a dance once more, grew thick and rapid, that Lucy was confused. She never saw where certain other people came from, who was soon capering among the trees. One of the youth, dressed only in a fawn skin and vine leaves, withered curly hair. His face would have been almost too pretty for a boy's, feminine, you see. If he had not looked extremely wild, you felt as Edmund, and when he saw a few days later, there's a chap who might do anything, absolutely anything. He seemed to have many great names, Bromius, Ram, and three others. And there were a lot of girls with him as wild as he was, and they were unexpectedly someone on a donkey. And they were shouting out, E-1, E-1, E-oo-oo-oo. Now, what this...
All right, now, wait a minute. You were just reading the actual book.
Yes.
Okay, you were reading
just a little excerpt.
A little excerpt from the book,
yes.
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
And that's what you read. And they were... What were they yelling?
What did you ask me?
What were they yelling?
They were yelling, E-U-A-N, E-U-A-N, E-U-O-O-O. And what that means... The cries means is it's like they cry at a Bacchanalian orgy. And so they're introduced to the gods of wine in these scenes, and also the wild boys and the wild girls. And so... Therefore, we see the supposedly Jesus type, the lion, taking these kids to this wild party of Bacchus, which is the god of wine. And so...
Revelry.
Yeah.
God of revelry. Revelry.
Yeah. And...
But then we have that here in Alabama. It's called Mardi Gras. We have a lot of Bacchus... And a lot of the Bacchus going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we know a lot about those different gods right here.
Yes. And the unfortunate part about it, you see, the children, once they go to this kind of a movie with the fantasy and the talent of the demonic minds that put this thing together, and you bring these kids into a regular Sunday school class, and you're going to tell them about Jesus and what he did for them, their eyes are going to glaze over, and they're not going to hear a word you say. And in addition to that, they're just going to sit there and think about a lion instead of Jesus Christ.
And not only that, they're going to get mad at you. If you say that the movie is not good, they're going to get mad at you.
Oh, absolutely.
And if their parents aren't teaching them, they're going to get mad. I mean, I used to teach younger. You always taught the age my son was. I had to deal with parents and these kids, and they don't, you know, I'm pretty tough, and they wouldn't want me teaching the truth to their kids, by golly.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids didn't want to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come out, and even in the adult class, if I come out and say the passion's wrong, they get all mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody got mad when you say the Lord of the Rings is wrong, everybody gets mad when you say the Chronicles of Narnia is wrong and Harry Potter's wrong. They all get mad.
Yeah. Well, what did they do in the Old Testament? Whenever Jeremiah tried to tell them what God was saying, they buried him down in a hole.
Yeah, or they tried
to
kill him.
And they killed the prophets mm-hmm. that would try to tell them what God wanted them to do. And then what did they do to Jesus? They killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that wants to stand up and tell the body of Christ today the truth, they're totally rejected. And then they are in turn slandered by the person that they've tried to open their eyes.
And that's where I see the persecution of the real body of Christ is going to be persecuted from the fake body of Christ or the apostate. Those are in deception. They will be the ones persecuting us and eventually maybe coming to kill us. Just
uh-huh.
what we saw in Jesus' time. The church then, the Pharisees and Sadducees leadership, killed all the true Christians who were Jews
uh-huh.
of their
uh-huh.
own church, from their church. They went to their church with them.
Yes.
And they went and they killed them.
Now, on their dance, you know, they did it midsummer.
Right.
And what that
like
is...
Summer solstice.
Yeah, it's a summer solstice. And it's the last day of the year, and then the sun god has to go, Apollo has to go down into hell until December the 25th, which is what the Christians call Christ's birthday, which it isn't his birthday.
Well, it's Tammuz or Apollo, but Tammuz is what the scriptures use. Tammuz is born at the winter solstice.
Right, and that's the day he comes back from hell. To rule over the earth again for the year.
Mm-hmm. And he dies at Samhain. And his mama goes and spends, his mama, which is Easter or Ishtar, she goes and spends 6 months in the underworld so he can come up. So fertility. So she's down under right now, and she resurrects at the spring equinox.
Exactly. And these are very important high days for witches. And, you know, I remember this last book that was released by Harry Potter. I went over to the church that night, and the airways over the city was just so strange, and you could just feel the eeriness in the air.
Well, now, all of Harry Potter's books always came out on the winter solstice or the summer solstice.
Right.
She timed them to come out right on the high Sabbaths of the witchcraft.
Right.
Now, this movie, Narnia, came out on December the 12th, which was about 12 days, 24 days, 21st. It'd be about how many days? From the 9th to the
23rd. 23rd was the solstice.
The 23rd?
Mm-hmm, this year.
Okay, it's changed, because usually around the 21st, so it was the 23rd.
Yeah.
And, about 13 days, I don't know how many days prior it was. How many days is that, Phil? But, I mean, they picked that. Of course, a 9 is a hidden, 9 is a hidden 33. It's a 3 times 3.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 is 2-6. You know, December 9th, they usually have a season of winter solstice. It's not just one day.
Right. And you see, in witchcraft, I've ministered to and pulled many different Satanists and witches out of witchcraft. I have some books up on my internet concerning those things. But the witches, the former witches told me that 18 days before the actual day, they begin to gather their sacrifices. And it's through those 18 days that they celebrate going all the way up to the main day. And so they don't play games, you see. That's what the problem is.
Well, it was 13 days. It was 13 days. From the 9th to the 23rd was 13 days.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading in John DeCamp's book, and this one lady he interviewed on the Larry King, the Larry King show, is a lady who had adopted kids, and she started learning about the occult because these kids had been used for satanic rituals in the occult.
Mm-hmm.
And she started learning what they do to little kids.
Yes.
During the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they do horrifying things to them, and that I can't even describe on the air. And
that's
so you have
terrible.
So you have a movie coming out for little kids during the winter solstice. It's kind of like you know how when a pedophile or somebody's trying to kidnap a kid, how they're drawn to the car with candy?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the occult, drawing the kids to the occult using this great movie.
And
drawing
they will
them
be drawn.
To the portal. Draw them to that portal.
Mm-hmm. And they will go. And the unfortunate part about all of this is that in America, there's very few people that have deliverance background knowledge of what to do. When I go into Africa, I go to Bishop Kanko's church in Ghana, and what happens? He's got about 17,000 people across that city in different churches that he's put together that follow him. And there could be 25 to 35 witches in his church at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then those demons start manifesting.
Right.
And now, let me tell you something very intriguing and interesting. In America, you've heard of Brownsville in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
False move.
Oh, yeah. Brownsville's about an hour from me, and I have a lot of personal friends that went over there, and they've not been the same since.
They won't be until they go through deliverance.
Right. Amen. It was so evil, wicked. They couldn't walk for several days, and it's quite amazing.
Well, what happens is those manifestations of barking dogs and howling at the moon and all of these
drunkenness,
falling around with chains on them, all of these things.
Slain.
I started seeing these manifestations in Canco's church, but there was a difference. The difference was he had trained 48 workers to cast devils out, and they would go and get them, and they would cast the devils out of them. I saw people crawling on the floor like snakes, barking like dogs, hopping around like frogs, all kinds
Gross.
Of things. But the difference was that they treated it as demonology, and over here in our nation, they were treating it as the Holy Ghost.
Oh, it's so horrifying.
It is horrifying, and you see the church has fallen under such grave deception and darkness until they cannot see anything anymore. You cannot talk to them. If you try to talk to them about the end times, I came out of the radio station. I have a radio show, by the way, that they can listen to.
Oh, where?
It's at River Radio.
Oh, on River Radio.
.org.
Yeah, River Radio's carrying my show.
Well, this comes on at Sunday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Is that in out of Jacksonville, Florida?
I don't know where Mark is at River Radio. I thought he was out towards Oregon or Utah or somewhere out there, Colorado or something.
Oh, I don't know. This
Where's
one's
Mark, River Radio?
Yeah.
Yes, he's carrying our show. And this, so you're on there on Sundays at 1:30?
We come on riverradio.org. At 1:30 Eastern Standard.
And there's a link on our webpage at the top, folks, for River Radio So Sunday evening, 1:30. Okay.
No, it's in the afternoon.
1:30 afternoon.
The thing about it is I came out of the radio station one day, and there was a pastor there, and I started talking to him about the second coming of Jesus, and I tell you honestly, he fell into a trance right in front of my eyes, and he stayed that way until I stopped talking about it. I saw it with my own eyes. And so that's the kind of stuff that we're fighting over here in America.
Yeah. Jacksonville, Florida is where River Radio is headquarters. Yeah.
That's what I'm on, too.
Well, good.
Yeah. Well,
you need to be.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah. If there's anyone
are
out there.
Are they carrying your show right now?
Yes, they do it live.
Right now?
Yeah, they should be carrying it
now.
Well,
this is going on in my hometown, then.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Oh, so you go right into their studios?
I go to their studios to do my show.
Wow.
And so we're doing this live on my...
Well, you know what? Mark never told me about you. He told me about Paul and Kathy Nolan is how I got your article on the Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
And read it, and I thought this is just what people need to hear. Folks, if anyone out there listening has a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. We appreciate Timothy from Oregon, a first-time caller, and I hope that his questions have been answered if he has any more. And you know, the Lord's told us have nothing to do with witchcraft, and the reason why he gives us, well, they're not the same. The River Radio that you go to and the River Radio that I'm on is not the same.
Oh, it isn't. Because
one's
mine's
on
in
Kansas.
Jacksonville,
yeah.
Florida.
Okay. Does it go out on a regular secular? It goes out on a regular station?
It's FM88.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's yours, FM88.
Yeah, but can they hear it on the internet too?
Yes.
Riverradio.org.
Yes, they hear it on the internet.
Okay, well, that's not the same one. Ours is from Kansas. It just has the same name. That's strange.
Oh, yeah. Are they .org or .com?
A tripod. There's something different. Okay.
Okay.
Now, if anybody would like to call, the number is 866-273-8253, 866-273-8253. One of the reasons I like to go see the show is because I like to see, you know, how they draw the pictures of the witch. What does she look like? You know, she looks just like Themis. And their Themis in Alabama courthouse is not the Themis that you normally see around all the other courthouses with the woman holding the scales, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The goddess of law. And she is the where we get all our laws from in this country. And all of the law offices and all of our court U.S. courthouses, state courthouses, always have Themis up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our Supreme Court, not our Supreme Court in Alabama, our 11th Circuit Court in Alabama, U.S. Court, has a Themis out in the courtyard there. And it's a bronze or silver, shiny Themis. It's just the face with the long streaks out of her hair,
mm-hmm.
which is just what she looks like,
mm-hmm.
just like what this white witch looked like.
Mm.
And they made her look like a white witch instead of a black witch, you know. But she
yeah.
was very evil, and it's funny how her everything was dead in hers, like when Easter's underground, everything's dead and cold and wintry.
Yeah.
And with this witch, everything was cold and wintry.
Uh-huh.
And dead, just like when Easter is underground.
Right.
Isn't that strange? And then when Tammuz is born, then it becomes fertile and wonderful. And in the movie, when they got to where Aslan was and everywhere, all of a sudden everything became warm, all the flowers budded, and everything came real pretty as if Tammuz had just been born.
Right. Let's talk just for a moment about objects.
Okay.
Because, you see, what will come from this movie is all of these things that they sell. They'll have little dolls
okay.
made like the witch and little dolls made like these characters. And I want to talk about objects because the American mind doesn't understand it. Over the years, we've had to deal with objects in people's houses here. And in Africa, when I went to a bishop's house, whenever they would do deliverance on a witch, immediately they would go to the witch's house and they would take the objects out of the house away. And
Yeah, I did that with my son. I went through his bedroom and got rid of every witchcraft toy I knew of when I started learning the Smurfs and the dwarfs and the trolls and the, you know, all the different toys.
But you see, here's the thing. When he came to America, he was doing the same thing over here. And he told me, he said, if you don't go and get that stuff out of the house, he said, the demons will kill the people. And so, see, whenever we look at something, say you look at, like, TBN is sending these little Barbie dolls down to Africa, down to Haiti, to the little black children. And, of course, I think she tries to look like a Barbie doll. But anyway, I said, God, Africa is Haiti is a voodoo country. Here's this nutty woman sending these dolls down here to these little kids. The voodooists will get a hold of those dolls and work against the kids. And so we look at things like it's a doll, you know, it's a piece of wood or a piece of plastic. But you see, what the American mind doesn't see and understand is that these things are the things, the idols and the objects are the things that the demons come and attach themselves to. And you can see it all over the Old Testament, you know, Laban and Rachel, and she stole the idol, and, you know, the whole nine yards is in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows that the powers of the demons can attach themselves to these things. So this is another area where the parents will go at Christmas time and they'll buy these little Narnia objects and bring them into their house. And so instead of the kids being at Narnia one time, the demons will be there as their guest all the time.
Mm.
And so it's quite, it's like a great earthquake that has hit the American church. And I say American, probably European in all of them, but the American church is so blinded concerning demonology and these things. I remember I was going to an Assembly of God some dozens of years ago, and there was a man that was an evangelist from Brazil, and he was like the Billy Graham of Brazil for the Assembly of God. Mm-hmm. And the pastor, he told me that the pastor told him, he said, "Now, we know all about the witchcraft on the foreign fields," he said, "but our people are not interested in those things, and so we don't want you to talk about it." And so that's the way it is. They don't talk about it at all. And so the people in the churches are just totally blind. They don't know anything. The pastors don't know anything. And the saddest part about it all is they don't want to know anything.
I think it's willful ignorance. I think they do know a little bit about, through their career, I think they've probably run into a few situations where they know that it's real, but they are not going to teach about it from the pulpit. They're not going to preach about it. And they leave us in spiritual blindness about everything. And when you call the resurrection of our Lord and Savior after a sex goddess, Easter, and we all face east and go watch sunrise services in the morning, I mean, who do you think we're worshiping? And most, you know what, most of these, when I confront a preacher, they know the difference, but they said the Easter is what everybody knows it, and that's what they call it, so they go along with it.
It's tradition.
Yeah, they don't. And it's been so long ago. I mean, one guy just told me, well, it's so long ago, it doesn't really matter anymore. Like the tree. He says, just because the tree represents Tammuz, and he says, and his birth, a phalanx symbol, he says, it's been so long ago, it doesn't mean that anymore. It's now a Christian symbol. We got Chester on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Chester.
Hello, how y'all?
Fine. You got a question,
Miss Pat? Do you have a number that we can contact you at? Because I'd like to be able to talk with you some more too.
Pat, in your ministry, do you have a number where people can call for prayer and deliverance prayer or anything?
Yes. They can call me at. Ask your lady what that number is that you call me at.
Phyllis, okay, that number?
Uh-huh.
904-733-8318.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 904-733-8318, and that is a number you get. Hopefully you won't get, I mean, there's so many people with these kind of problems. We've all been raised with witchcraft, and most of us are just learning about it, you know, needing to come out and pray. And as the Lord, as you probably didn't, I didn't have anybody to teach me how to do deliverance prayer. The Lord just taught me, and I was able to pray it myself and take care of it and handle it. And that's what, when you gave your testimony, that's kind of what happened to you. So the Lord does teach us, and we can come out of it, but it's great to have someone like Pat and Paul and Kathy Nolan, who are in deliverance ministries, and I think Jim Atkins we had on the other day, deliverance, delivering people from the bondage of sin, for sure, but from the bondage of demons that have been attached to them through, there's just so many, you know, there's so many things. I mean, through my life, my family, oh gosh, what we were exposed to. But let me give you a personal testimony. You got that, Chester?
Yes, and I want to ask one more thing,
okay,
too.
Sure.
I want to ask, Ms. Pat, do you have any audio stuff that you could send to me through email?
Chester is blind, and so he can't read the books.
Oh, I can't. I have audio tapes, yes, I do. I have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chester, I got someone else on the other line. We're running out of time.
Thanks. Have a blessed
day. All right, God bless you.
God bless you.
I don't want to do the wrong line. Okay, Susan from Florida.
Hi. I wanted to ask if she knew anything about C.S. Lewis being a member of an occult organization, not really being a Christian.
He was a member of, like, not the Hellfire Group. That was Benjamin Franklin. But they were, what was C.S. Lewis a member of?
They were saying the Thelemic Order, some order like that of... trying to find it.
He's a member of something. Nobody dies on 11/22/63. I guess it was 1963 is when he died. Same day as JFK, John F. Kennedy. That's rather strange. You know, that's just a strange event for him to land on die on a number 33.
I remember.
I was just wondering if
Pat?
Pat, or you had any documentation, because I was looking at another website, and I was trying to find it, because they were saying that he wasn't really a Christian.
He's not.
Yeah, we know he's not, but he was claiming to be one. Pat, in his...
He was a member of the Golden Dawn. That's what they're saying on this one website.
Right.
The Semitic Order of the Golden Dawn.
Uh-huh. Now, what is that?
It's a horrible occult organization.
Pat,
horrible.
Is that in that biography you have there?
I don't have that, but I do know that in my readings that they were connected to the Blavatsky group, which is the New Age group out of England.
All right, that's the one I read about, Blavatsky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it might be the
worldwide New Age
Hitler
movement.
Well, now see, his New Age, where all ways lead to heaven, and that Buddhists will go. All you have to do in his Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says, all you have to do is just be good. Practice the side of Christianity that's good, and you're going to go to heaven. That he has many routes. It's quite unbelievable. I've read it on my show a couple times. But that philosophy, that witchcraft, that is a bewitching right there, Pat and Susan, because that bewitched my husband. And when we married, you know, he was the type of Christian C.S. Lewis was, called himself a Christian, and was, but had no, believed in zero words of God's word.
Well, where did they ever get, why?
But they believed
they
everything C.S. Lewis said.
That he's a Christian.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. He was promoted as a Christian through the media, secular media, news things like Billy Graham has.
Well, even when I was first born again, the Baptist church I went to told me about C.S. Lewis and gave me his books to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give C.S. Lewis to try to get everybody saved.
Books.
Oh, yeah. And the people started showing me, and I read it to my husband, and my husband believes actually what C.S. Lewis and Billy Graham say, that all ways lead to heaven, that the Lord is making a way for people in other parts of the world differently than through Jesus. And that's what C.S. Lewis says and believes. So now that's not the biggest bewitching. So what happened with that kind of belief with my husband was he claimed Christianity, went to church, but he was pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, you know, homosexuality, you're born that way. He was an evolutionist, just like C.S. Lewis was an evolutionist. He had the faith of C.S. Lewis, which was pro-evolution, pro-abortion. You can abort your kids. You can live any old life and still go to heaven. Be any for, you know, do whatever you want. And that liberalism that he bewitched all the adults for the last hundred years is really bad. Besides bewitching the kids, he has also bewitched adults, and that's very dangerous.
Well, the crazy thing is how they would think that this Narnia movie. How would Disney make a Christian movie?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We should still be boycotting anything Disney does. And any person the secular media says is a Christian, that's a big red flag. Thanks, Susan, for calling.
Okay,
God bless. We love to hear from Susan. She does great research. Well, Pat, God bless you. Appreciate you being with us today on the Brian Chronicles.
I enjoyed being with you today, Kelly.
Well, listen, we need to have you on again. I'm going to go look at all your books. We've got a few of them on our webpage. But people, they can look at your books at patholiday.com. That's Holliday, PatHolliday.com. 48 books there on this type of stuff. Right, Pat?
Yes.
Well, God bless you. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Berean Chronicles.
God bless you.
Thank you.